Welcome to Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Influencer Marketing for Destinations. Jess and I are very excited to be talking about some strong opinions today. We'll be talking about do's and don'ts for influencers and influencer marketing. So before we hop into that lovely deep dive, Jess, I know you have a wonderful trend for us today. What have you got?
Yes, I'm really excited about this. So a lot of people have heard about the website skyscanner.com. This is a site that I personally use to find amazing deals for flights. However, they also have just introduced a brand new tool. It's actually located within their business intelligence tool section. So that's where you would go if you're looking for it on their website. But basically, what this tool can do is that it takes the data and it can be leveraged to predict demand, evaluate changes to like your inbound market mix, whether that be at a country or a city level. And it also includes differences in like the most popular inbound routes and how these change over time. So this is an incredible tool for destinations to use to predict upcoming travel to their destinations. So definitely if you're a destination looking at this, even an influencer, right, to be able to jump on the trends and create blog posts and content for these new destinations, this is definitely something that all should be looking at.
Thanks, Jess. Yeah, this trend is also really great for your pitches too. Remember, when you're pitching, you want to provide as much value as possible. And so I think this trend and this tool is so great so that you can say, you know, using this tool, I've researched and I've put in the effort to tell you about your destination in this way, and this is how I can help you. Your destination will be so much more impressed and more likely to hire you.
Exactly. Yep, that's a great point. Very great point. So, okay, I am very excited for this episode today because we are going to hear a lot of great stories from Jacqueline. She has been with Relic for quite a few years and has worked with influencer marketing for many of those years. So she has a lot of great stories of do's and don'ts of what destinations and influencers should do when it comes to influencer marketing. So without further ado, let's kick this off. Jacqueline, why don't we start in like the do section? Tell me some of the things that you think that are must-dos within influencer marketing.
Yes, Jess. Oh, I have so many stories and I'm really excited for this episode. I've got some really strong opinions and there's just so many good and bad things that we're going to share about today. So first with this do section, I really want to emphasize over communication, you know, do communicate and communicate as much as you feel that you need to. I know from an agency, from a destination side, hearing from an influencer is never going to be an issue for us. You know, we love hearing new things you have to say, or even if an influencer is just checking in. I've had influencers where the itinerary has taken longer to plan than we originally thought. We had some delays with confirmation codes or things like that. And the influencer literally emailed me almost weekly just asking for updates, or even, you know, every few days leading up to the last month or so before the trip. And even though sometimes I didn't have updates for them, I definitely was not annoyed by that communication at all, because I knew that they were still interested. They were anticipating the trip. And then sometimes they even added in, you know, some extra information, like this last week, this topic has really gotten some attention on my page. If you want to add that in or slip that in, or if there's any way we can put that into itinerary, that'd be great.
That's fantastic. Honestly, as an influencer, I always am a little nervous to reach out to destinations too much because I don't want to annoy them. But I love hearing that coming from you as a destination, someone who represents a destination, that it's okay. Communicate as much as possible because the destination actually prefers that. So that's awesome to hear. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, definitely. Over communicate rather than under communicate. So never shy away from that.
Good, good. Okay, that's awesome to know. Okay, what are some other do's that you would say?
Yeah, so heading back to one of our early episodes, do have a media kit. When destinations reach out, you want to make sure you're prepared and you're ready to discuss your brand, your topics, your subjects, your niches. So definitely take a step back to our previous episode on media kits and really listen deep into that and really take it to heart to see what you need to add in your media kit or what you need to have to make sure you're representing your brand really well.
Awesome. Yep. Love it. Okay. Next one.
All right. This one is more on the influencer side. So Jess, I'm actually excited to have you participate in this one, but do make sure that you have either a business account or if it's Instagram, a creator account. We've actually come across a lot of influencers who have a lot of following and they currently weren't using a business account. And so not getting that data after the trip is absolutely a deal breaker. So please make sure you have that. Jess, do you have any tips on whether a business or creator account or what they can do to make sure that they get that data?
So whether you choose one or the other, I personally like the creator account better, especially nowadays where we have more access to music that's not copyrighted that we can actually use for Instagram Reels. So if you're an influencer, I recommend using a creator account, but you're more than welcome to use a business account. You can still get those insights that you need to send to the destinations after. This is a must have, not only for the destination, but you should be regularly checking your own stats each week. And you can't do that if you don't have that business or creator account.
Yep, definitely agree, because you're just going to help the destination that much more. One of the biggest reasons behind this do or this must have is the data. Destinations are often with their small business stakeholders, especially in rural destinations, they're struggling to prove the worth of influencers to those stakeholders. So not only will posting about the stakeholders, the restaurants, the hotels really benefit them and show them the worth, but that data is really going to prove it in a numbers, in a numerical way. And that's what's going to sell your case after the trip.
Yes. Yep. 100% agree. Another one that I'm actually thinking of that would be a great do is for influencers to really know who your audience is and what they want. Do you have an example of this with past influencers?
Yes. Yes. So I'm actually going to do a big shout out here because Joy of Adventuring, Carrie Ward has been so wonderful to work with in this area. I was so impressed with some of her first pitches, and we had already done a trip once before. She had done a great job, and we really wanted to utilize her more. And so I was actually trying to convince a destination to send her for a second time. So a lot of destinations in rural areas may not necessarily think that a long-term partnership or a multi-trip brand awareness campaign is a good idea. And that's mostly just because, you know, it's a lot of money. And so they want to make sure they're putting that money in the right spot. So with Carrie, she had sent us an email and she said, hey, we loved going to this destination. If you do ever want to work together again, my audience is actually really asking about and talking about canyoneering and about slot canyons. So I know this destination has a lot of it. If you want us to do that and share that, let us know. And I loved it. And that was the perfect case to bring to the destination and say, not only should we use this influencer again, but look at what their audience is asking for. And we're perfect for this. And so that was wonderful. We sent her again. I will say these trips were probably about 6-ish months apart. So it wasn't like back to back. You still have to kind of have that investment and that conversation going over that longer term. But we had so much fun and she did a great job again. And the client was really happy there.
Awesome. Now, just out of curiosity's sake, did she provide like screenshots or conversations that she was having that talked about, right, her audience being interested in canyoneering?
Good question. Yeah. So the initial pitch actually didn't have any links, but because I knew her, I knew the partnership, I trusted her and I had her links ready to access. So I went to her profile and kind of looked at some recent content she was doing, looked at some comments, you know, did my own little bit of research. But I know if I had asked her, she would have definitely provided that as well, since we have a good relationship.
I think that's awesome. Yeah. I think, gaining trust in an influencer goes a long way, a very long way. So what steps can an influencer take in order to gain trust from the destination?
Such a good question. So some more of these do's, I would say do communicate. We've already talked about that before. Making sure that you're staying in contact. The more communication touches that you have, the more that you have the ability to build that trust. Making sure that you're providing value. And one of these other ones that is going to be hard for some influencers. I can only imagine how hard it would be. But sometimes you need to say no. And the way that you say no in the right way will build that trust. So let me give you a couple examples there. The first one is a good example, a positive example. We had an influencer who we reached out to. We knew them pretty well. We had vetted them. We asked them if they would be willing to go to a destination for a specific reason. And they actually said, you know what? I don't think that would be as good of a fit. It might be down the road, but my audience is actually looking for more of, you know, this other thing right now. But I would love to revisit it in the future. And I loved that because not only did she have the courage to say, you know what? Maybe not right now. She had the courage to say that, but she also left the door open. She helped us realize that she was interested in a partnership, even if it wasn't the right time right now.
Fantastic example. I also love too how she was so tuned into her audience and their needs and their interests that she was able to make a good call for the sake of her audience. Very cool. Love that example.
Yep. I am nodding my head so hard right now. Yep. It's really impressive to have an influencer tuned in like that. So that was a good example. On the other side, maybe a not so good example. And again, we're keeping everything anonymous. I will not be sharing names, but I want to give you guys some real stories, some real experiences. And so one of the not so positive examples we had of this was we emailed an influencer asking them to go to a destination. We didn't share a ton about it. It was more of a brand awareness campaign, so nothing specific to call out for this one. But they emailed back, and I'm actually going to read a little bit of their response. So they said, "Thank you for the email. I did some research on destination, and the destination does not speak to me, and I'm not sure if it will resonate with my audience." You know, not too bad. I mean, if it doesn't resonate with her audience, it doesn't resonate, right? But she continued. "Destinations that I feature are hidden gems revealing gorgeous scenery, mountains, unique lodging, or beaches. I did not find any of that. Can you provide me with anything that I may have missed that makes this a great vacation spot?" Well, this was fun.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty bold. What do you think, Jess?
That's so rude. Oh my gosh. I feel like that first line, right? Like, just leave it at that of like saying, "Hey, you know, thank you so much for reaching out. Would love to work together maybe in a future with a different destination. This just is not a good fit for my audience, and I want to give them value." Boom, done. You don't have to go on and diss the destination. That is super cringy. Oh my goodness.
Yep. And what makes this such a big don't for me on how to say no, you know, poorly, is the fact that this destination actually did have a river. It had a very famous river. It has a lot of history. And if that's not for her audience, great. But we just felt like maybe the research wasn't as in-depth as maybe it ought to be. But she also did not realize who she was talking to, right? Talking to an agency who specializes in tourism. If this destination doesn't fit your needs, we could have sent her anywhere else. But because of that comment, we ignored the email and we didn't respond, and we won't be reaching out again.
Oh my goodness. I have so many things to say, but I guess we can just keep it as don't do that. Be incredibly nice when people reach out. I don't know why you would not be nice. Do you know what I mean? It's just common decency. But great story. Thanks for sharing.
Yep.
Well, before we jump into into our don't section, do you have any more do's that you would recommend?
Yeah. So we want to make sure that, I guess this is kind of a double side of the coin, similar to the last one, but please make sure that you're communicating with the right point of contact. This could also account for, you know, if you're following up, if you're trying to communicate or over communicate, and maybe you're not getting a response, make sure that you just keep trying. Maybe give them a call, try email. Different formats of communication are great. However, please do not contact a different contact, and this includes the client. We have had influencers in the past who have gone around the agency and contacted the client directly, and it actually makes us as an agency look bad. And so it in turn doesn't make the influencer look as good either. So make sure that you're communicating with the right person and with that contact solely, unless they've given you permission for another person that maybe is helping them with the itinerary or helping them with the project. Make sure you're just doing, respecting their communication and who they want you to work with.
For sure. Do you find that they contacted somebody else or went directly to the destination because they didn't hear back from you guys in a timely fashion or whatever time that they were hoping to hear back from you? Or did they go, or, you know, to the destination specifically even after chatting with you?
Yeah, so both, actually. We've had some influencers that have done it really well, and they'll go to, usually if I'm working on an influencer personally, I will have, since I'm managing and directing the department as well, there's a lot of moving pieces, and I'll have a coordinator or someone working with me with the influencer, and they'll reach out to the coordinator, they'll reach out to me, and that's totally fine. Reaching out to multiple people is great, and I usually make that really clear, like, so-and-so is going to be helping me with this project. But we have also had influencers, even before and after the contract has been signed, where they'll go around to the client, and this is one of my don'ts. I guess we'll start a little early there, but don't ask the client for more after the contract has been signed.
Yes,
it doesn't look good.
Yes, fantastic tip. Okay, before we jump into the don'ts, any other do's that you'd like to share?
Yeah, so a couple really easy ones. We'll just kind of quickly go through these. Make sure that on your Instagram, you're balancing your organic and sponsored ad content. It looks a little bit better to us, and I realize that some destinations maybe have their preference or have their own strategies for the way they do things. But at least for our agency and for some of the tourism destinations we're working with, we want to have a balance of organic and ad content.
Yep. Fantastic point.
And then the last one is just ways to contact you. Do you have multiple alternatives or multiple ways to have someone reach out to you for collaborations? We've seen so many influencer accounts where they have great following, they look like they have great content, and then they don't have an email, they don't have a website, they don't have anything really, and it's just DMs that you have to use to reach out to them and ask for that collaboration. So that's not a bad thing. There are ways to DM, and that's fine. That's never our first form of communication, though, and I'll tell you why. We like to have, and for government organizations and destinations, it's really important sometimes to have a paper trail. And so we like to have an email or something in our inbox or something, some record of communication where we can say, yes, we did reach out to them. And sometimes grabbing for the phone and grabbing for the DMs and going through the inbox is not as effective for that record keeping.
Awesome. You have provided a fantastic list for destinations and influencers listing of things to do when it comes to influencer marketing. So thank you so much for sharing that list.
Yeah, my pleasure. Do you have anything to add to the list, Jess? Any do's that you can see that I missed?
Oh my gosh. No, I think honestly, you covered quite a bit of it. So no, I think you did a great job with it. I don't have anything to add at this time. But what I am very excited to hear about is your don'ts. Because we all want to know of like things to avoid when it comes to influencer marketing, both for destinations and influencers. So without further ado, let's kick this topic off. What are some of your major, you know, don't do's when it comes to influencer marketing?
Yeah, so there are a lot of don'ts, and I will say all of these don'ts come from personal experience. When you compile a list of do's and don'ts, I definitely don't take that job lightly, but you don't really have a lot of don'ts until someone gives you a reason to have one, right? So these all come from personal stories and experiences, and I won't share names publicly, as I already said, but I do want to give you guys real life experience that makes these things an important thing to talk about. So the first one is one we've touched on a little bit, but don't go to the client or the destination or agency and ask for more after the contract has been signed. Really, the time for collaboration and the time for partnership is before that signing moment, and especially before you're on the trip. We have had an experience in the past where we have sent a very big influence, a lot of people. It was a very big campaign. It was a big deal. And we actually had two destinations partnering together for this collaboration. And they went straight to the client on the trip asking for more. And the client came back to us, gave us a call, you know, and started talking about it. And we were just kind of shocked, you know, we didn't know anything about it. So it really doesn't help anyone in the collaboration to, you know, go around the contact to ask for more. And so that would be my first big kind of no-no.
Can you clarify what you mean by more? Are you talking about more money?
More money, yes. I mean, everything kind of comes down to money, right? But they were asking for more activities, more things to do, and wanted that on the client's dime. So, yeah.
Oh, ooh, yeah, that's kind of cringy. Okay, I will say, yes, I agree with that, don't. What do you feel, though, is if you sign a contract with an influencer, they do that, they give you the deliverables, it went fantastic, and then they send you a follow-up email and say, hey, just to let you know, while I was there, I was able to collect content or, you know, additional assets for, you know, whether it be this site or this historic place or whatnot. Are you interested in a second blog post? Are you interested in a second gallery? What do you feel about an influencer coming and asking that?
Oh, that's totally fine. Yep, I would say that that's great because it shows that you were experiencing the destination. It shows you went above and beyond to collect more, to do more, and you really want to provide value, right? I mean, we all want to earn money in the collaboration. We all want the best for the destination. And so I think that's a perfect way to do it. I think that's totally fine. And it really builds the trust. As long as you're doing it in a way that gives them the choice, gives them the option, but also provides, you know, value and trust, really building that relationship, I think that's totally fine.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Love to hear that. Okay, what are some other don'ts that you would include in this section?
Yeah, so I think this one should be a little bit obvious, so I'll start with this one as well. Don't publicly degrade the destination while you're there. I know, especially with some of these rural destinations, we try our hardest to send you to the best places, the cutest places, and it definitely doesn't build trust or do well by the destination to share the negatives. However, I will say is if you find something that negatively impacts your trip and you would like to express that to the destination or let us know so that we can fix that in future partnerships, just send us an email, you know, do that a little bit more privately. We have had some destinations do this really well where, you know, maybe there was some bumpy roads with some confirmation codes or, you know, I've had some influencers call me and say, hey, I think I got the wrong building number and we've had some typos in the itinerary. That's totally fine. But it's definitely, you know, a little bit disappointing to see that publicly shared.
For sure. Yes, I 100% agree with that. It's such a hard and a fine line for an influencer. So I will say, as an influencer, I never want to lie or mislead my audience in any way whatsoever. So there have been times where I have been sent on trips and asked to, for example, I'm thinking of this one a couple years ago. We were asked to go to this specific restaurant for lunch. We went. It was not a great experience all around. The staff, the food, the location, it would be somewhere that I would not recommend anybody to go. But, you know, it was part of the itinerary and everything. So as an influencer, in that case, what do you do, right? You don't want to blast that destination or that restaurant on social media, but you also don't want to lie to your audience. So what we did is just exactly what you said. We sent the destination an email and just let them know kindly that instead of, you know, lying or being rude on social media, we were just going to not feature that specific restaurant and we were just going to move on with the content. So I think, right, there's that fine line of you got to be honest with your audience, but you also don't want to be negative about the destination.
Yep. And I love, there's a key point to your story that you mentioned, Jess, is that you sent them an email and you explained why you wouldn't be featuring it. I think that's totally valid. And that helps the destination to realize where they can improve, but also gives them kind of the heads up. Whereas, you know, I've had sometimes there are destinations where they'll be like, why didn't they highlight this lodging or why didn't they highlight this restaurant? And the influencer didn't reach out or didn't say anything. And so I assume the experience was positive, but at the same time, I don't know why they didn't post it. So giving the destination, especially if it's negative, kind of a heads up to some of those things is really important. I love that.
Yep, yep. Good, good, good. Okay, what are some other experiences that you've had that you would recommend not doing?
Yeah, so since we're in the midst of the trip and the conversation of during the trip, let's continue with that. So another one is to make sure that you've read the contract, you understand the partnership well enough so that you understand how to effectively use your stipends, your budget, your money, or things like that. This is something we're watching a little bit more closely because of a specific experience. We were doing a trade, which I realize not a lot of influencers do, or maybe, you know, they have the choice to do that. So we were working with an influencer in trade. And we did provide a food stipend because we realized, you know, we want to do the best for this collaboration. And it wasn't very big, but it was big enough. And we always try to pad it a little bit, right? We don't want you to run out of money, but we definitely want to make sure you're taken care of on the trip. So we had a food stipend. And for our influencers, for Relic Agency, we require that in order to get reimbursement for that food budget or that food stipend, you have to provide proof of receipts. And so we sent them to this restaurant. We always try to estimate how much they're going to spend first. You know, we want to make sure each member of the party is taken care of as well. So we plan the number of people. All those sorts of details are taken care of before. And when we got the receipts back, there was an influencer that had a very big seafood feast that we kind of were not expecting. And it ended up being very expensive. It wasn't highlighted in the trip as much either. I mean, the food was obviously highlighted, but not the type of food. Like, there was just mm-hmm. not really a lot of reason to wonder why this was. Don't take advantage of the stipend. I'll say, you know, if you are questioning something, again, over communicate, do communicate, ask them and see what they're okay with. Like I said, we don't tell them what to order. We want to give them an experience, but that was just something a little shocking when we received the receipts at the end.
That is such a good point, because as influencers, when you're going to the destination, you want to showcase the best, right? And sometimes though, that best food does come with a hefty price tag. So just, I would recommend balance everything, right? Don't go to every single restaurant and find the most expensive dish on there and order 10 of them. It's just not good business. It won't build a good relationship with that destination or the agency. So stay within your stipend, stay within the budget that they gave you. And if you do have questions about the budget, just like Jacqueline mentioned, just email the destination and ask them. That way you guys are all on the same page and you roughly know of how much you want to spend during that trip.
Yep. And also make sure that you're communicating clearly with the destination to know how many people to be covering that meal. You know, if you say, I'm here with one extra person, so it's a total party of two, don't pay for four people on that meal either.
Great point. Great point. That's a big don't do while you're on a fam trip.
Yeah, so I know we've kind of hinted at this along the way, but another don't that I've got is don't ghost us. You don't like it in your dating life, so don't do it in your business life.
Bingo. Yes, exactly.
Yep. Yeah, so a lot of times we really experience, and I hate to say a lot of times, right? But a lot of the time we experience this the most after the trip. Going back to the business and creator accounts, you know, make sure that you are receiving the data and the analytics, but also sharing the data and the analytics. It goes back to the destination proving your worth. If you want to go back to that destination, if you want a good reputation as an influencer, it's really important to share your statistics and to share the success of the trip so that they can in turn share the success of the trip with their team. We've had a lot of people ghost us after the trip and we don't get screenshots, we don't get analytics. We've also had some influencers who may not know how to find some of the analytics we ask for, and that's totally fine. Again, communicate that and that builds trust. You know, that's totally fine. I've sent some influencers some screenshot demo videos. You know, this is kind of what we're looking for. Here's where you can find it. And that's totally fine because that's the collaboration we sign up for. But I've sent that demo video and I've been ghosted and never received the data as well. So make sure that you're continuing the collaboration all the way to the end.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I would even add even further past the end. So even if, you know, a year from your collaboration with the destination, perhaps you get a DM from one of your followers and says, hey, thanks to you, I just booked this trip. I'm staying at the same hotel that you did, right? Can't wait, type of thing. Screenshot that message and send to the destination. That is incredibly valuable to them, especially when, you know, their destination has shareholders. That is proof of, hey, influencer marketing is working for us, even if it was a year after the collaboration date. So just because the contract ends on a specific date and you end up giving up all the deliverables and the stats at the end, don't end that partnership. Keep in touch with them. That goes a long way.
Yep, definitely. I know we've got a future episode planned for all things data and analytics, so I'll leave a little bit for that. But just like Jess said, mm-hmm. qualitative and quantitative data is a good thing.
Exactly, exactly. Well, do you have anything else that you'd like to add to the don't section?
Yeah, so I've got one more don't, and this one is a pretty big one. This one happens early in the partnership when maybe a lot of trust is not necessarily built, so it makes it even more important. Don't talk about pricing first. I know that's mm-hmm. really hard. You want to know what this is going to cost, what this is going to earn or make you, what the profit's going to be. But I know both parties experience that exact same thought process. But it's important to look at the collaboration and see what it will entail before kind of talking about pricing. And then we can pull back and we can kind of negotiate and discuss. But it definitely kind of turns me off when someone says, oh yeah, like what's your budget, or you know, what are we dealing with here, before they even ask, you know, well, what's your destination about, or what would you like me to showcase, or what are the topics that you have for this campaign? We want to get excited about it. You want to make sure that you have people that are interested in your destination that you're collaborating with. And so really talking about the exciting stuff, talking about the attractions, the topics for the campaign, and then really kind of working with the numbers to make it work and see what the collaboration will look like, I think is a better way to go about doing that.
Exactly. Yep, I would agree with that. You definitely want to build that relationship before you start talking numbers. I think that's just a good rule to follow.
Yep. And that still continues throughout the trip as well. I know we've had an influencer come back from a trip, and the first thing they email me when they get back is not like, the trip was great, thank you so much. It was like, oh, when do I get paid?
Ooh,
that's
cringe.
A little off-putting.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Yeah, definitely don't do that at the end of the trip either. Oh, wow. That's, yeah. Well, you've shared a lot of good, valuable don'ts and do's, along with good personal experiences, which makes it that much more valuable.
Yep. Thank you, everyone, for being patient with me, letting me get on this little soapbox today. I know there are so many strong opinions about this, especially from the personal experience. So thanks for listening.
Yes, and we're excited to continue talking all things influencer marketing offline. So be sure to follow us on Instagram, Pinterest, and Twitter, along with our new website at www.thedmpn.com. And we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hosted by Jess and Jacqueline and produced by Relic.